All right, hello and welcome. We're going to go ahead and get started while the last few, I think, are signing in here. Welcome to today's Pen Talk, Be the Fiduciary Outsourcing Expert. I'm Beth Parker with Pentegra. We're glad you joined us today. Before we begin the presentation, I had just a few housekeeping items I want to review with you. If you have any questions, please submit them through the question box located on the control panel on your screen. We'll answer as many questions as time allows, as we want to ensure we're respectful of your schedule and end on time. Any questions that we don't get to during the presentation, we'll definitely follow up with you and get you answers. Stored on your control panel in the handout section is a copy of our slide deck that you may download now or at any point during the webinar. We've also put in a copy of our 316 advisor survey for you to download. Let's get started. I'm excited to introduce Pentegra's own in-house 316 expert, Joe Reese. Joe is Pentegra's regional director in our Mid-Atlantic territory, covering Virginia, Eastern PA, Delaware, Maryland, New Jersey, and Washington, D.C. Joe has extensive retirement industry knowledge, having worked across many areas of the business over the past 20 years. Joe, welcome to the broadcast today. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much, Beth. I appreciate that. And thank you to everyone who's joined us. I know it's a busy time of year for everyone, holidays, office parties, family parties, tying up 2018, planning for 2019. So we really appreciate you sharing some of your valuable time with us. And hopefully we're going to make it worth your investment. So that's the goal. So without further ado, if you're anything like me, when you get on one of these webinars, one of the first things I think is how much time is this going to cost me, or you know, how long is this going to take? And so we've got 30 minutes allotted, and I've got 20 slides, so that should give you some idea. We're going to try to make this impactful and not drag it on too long, but give you some good information that you can take with you. And here are the things that we're planning to cover. So we're going to talk about trends in fiduciary outsourcing. And we're also going to spend some time talking about what employers are a good fit. Now, today, when we talk about fiduciary outsourcing, we're really going to focus on that 316 plan administrator outsourcing. That's going to be the brunt of what we talk about. And we're also going to talk about how to start the conversation with a plan sponsor, you know, how to get the conversation started. And I'm also going to give you a 30-second sales opener that you can try on for size. So we're gonna do that also in the context of a survey that we recently did, an advisor survey on 316 outsourcing. So this past August, Pentegra conducted a survey of advisors such as yourself to determine what your attitudes or openness are towards fiduciary outsourcing, 316 fiduciary outsourcing. So as part of our discussion today, I'm gonna review some of those findings with you. So here we go, let's jump in. Okay, so this is kind of a crazy slide just to have up here. What's it really have to do with 316 outsourcing? So, but I'm going to try to give you a visual and maybe draw an analogy here that will that's something that you might be able to use maybe in better weather. For most of us, it's a little bit cold and snowy, so this seems like an odd slide to be using. But what this depicts is a track meet, and if you ever been to a track meet or you watch the Olympics, you'll see a race. I'm give you a relay race, like a 4x4, and in that 4x4, each of the runners does one lap around the track. And then they pass a baton between each other. And this picture right here depicts that. So you have the runners running their lap, and then you have them passing this baton. And what happens is the runner runs as fast as they can around. And when they get back to where they started, the next runner starts running as fast as they can in the same direction. They stick their hand behind them, and then they blindly pass this baton. And if you ever Google this, you're going to see that you know, that it doesn't always go smoothly. There's a lot of examples of the baton being dropped. And when that baton gets dropped, it means that the runners are disqualified. So there's a pretty heavy consequence for not having a clean pass to the baton. And in a 401k plan, I would argue that there are many, many baton passes throughout the year. The TPA does this work and then passes it along to the employer, looking for some additional information, or maybe there has to be an approval or a signature or something has to be submitted or there's a meeting deadline. And that employer is running as fast as they can, operating their own business. And sometimes the baton gets dropped, and we see that. And there are some fairly severe consequences for that happening. So I'm not going to beat this analogy to death, but I think it's a good one. And we're going to talk about it a couple more times. I'll make reference to it as we move through this whole discussion about fiduciary outsourcing. So outsourcing, there's got to be an easy way, right? ERISA is hard. I say this all the time. You know, retirement plan administration is complex. There's all sorts of compliance burdens. You're dealing with the IRS and the Department of Labor. And, you know, for many employers, that commitment of time and the energy can be overwhelming. And actually, it's a distraction from running their business. So, and you know what? As an advisor, I'm guessing that issues with plan administration is a distraction for your business too, right? Most advisors I deal with do not like to get dragged into admin issues, things that have gone wrong. Not a lot of fun. And you know, when it comes to the oversight of a retirement plan, most plan sponsors are the named fiduciary of their plan. And the reality is, I think you would agree, that they're pretty widely not aware of those responsibilities and all the risks that come along with that role. So, a lot of complexity, a lot of responsibility, and unfortunately, not a lot of awareness. This is, if you've seen me present before, this is kind of my go-to slide. It's one of my favorite slides. I use it a lot. I use it in discussions with advisors. I use it in discussions with plan sponsors. It's the fiduciary roles under ERISA and the Department of Labor. You can see that there's actually five fiduciaries on this page, and the top three, the plan sponsor, plan administrator, and the trustee, those are the named fiduciaries. So you've got the plan sponsor at the top, you've got the trustee at the right-hand side, and the plan administrator on the left-hand side. And if you drew a line between them, you'd come up with a triangle, and I call that the fiduciary triangle. And if you drew a line down the middle and cut it in half, you basically have everything that goes on inside of a single employer plan. You got the assets on the right side that falls under the trustee, and you got the administration or the operation of the plan that falls on the left side. And ERISA does this really cool thing. ERISA says that the one responsibility the plan sponsor has is to name the other named fiduciaries. And that falls under 405C of ERISA. And it's a really neat thing because the plan sponsor can actually allocate, and that's the term that's used under ERISA, allocate duties away. So if they carve these duties out and they do so prudently, then no acts, errors, or omissions by that named fiduciary can be revisited back on the plan sponsor. So that's pretty cool. But it doesn't really happen practically in the real world. So I'll give you the example. In most single employer plans, the plan sponsor has this ability to name a trustee, and they do, but they name themselves. So either the business owner ends up being the trustee or the president or the CEO or the CFO. So we call those self-trustee plans. So they did carve the duties out, but they actually ended up self-trusting the plan. On the other side, you have the plan administrator. And what happens there is there's this idea that if you don't allocate something, you retain it. So the plan sponsor in 99.99999% of the time could carve these duties out, but doesn't. So when you bump into a single employer plan, you're going to see that the plan sponsor retains these plan administrator duties. So they're basically wearing both hats. Okay. And the 316 named plan administrator is important because it assumes the full responsibility for the management of all the day-to-day operations of the plan. And that role, right, if you can outsource it, it would shift the legal and operational burdens of that administrator role from the plan sponsor to somebody else. So that's a great opportunity. It rarely ever happens. Now, what about this 316 fiduciary is so important? Well, it's where the action is. Contrary to what most people think, and because of what we read, most plan mistakes that occur, they really have little or nothing really to do with the investments. I mean, that's the majority of the time. But you know, instead, they involve administration issues, and that's what makes that named plan administrator fiduciary so important. You know, the investment-related lawsuits, you know, they get lots of headlines, and but the vast majority of all employers, there's really a far, far greater likelihood of some sort of operational failure than any investment-related lawsuit. I'm not going to say that an investment-related lawsuit wouldn't be huge, but the likelihood is fairly low. So I bulleted some of the things that go wrong in a plan. We'll call them baton drops. And this actually comes from the IRS does a voluntary correction, sort of a top 10 list. So these are a couple of the bullets that come right from that. I'm just going to give a little bit of information on a couple of them, give you some examples. So plan document not updated. That's the classic baton drop. It actually is regularly the very first thing that shows up at the top of the list for the voluntary corrections. Kind of crazy. TPAs like Pentegra, I mean, we generate revenue off from document restatements, so it makes sense that we're actually doing them. We get paid to do it, so of course we're going to do it. Yet it still ends up being the number one IRS voluntary correction, and I've seen that myself a number of times this year on plans. So it's it happens, kind of crazy. Next one, failure to follow plan terms. So I was working on a plan. We were converting a plan that it was 300 participants roughly. It was a seed company. They had a very experienced HR department. And our team's document review, we do a document review call, and in that call we just noted that they have automatic enrollment, and the HR person said, yeah, we do, but we've actually never used it. So here's the thing: if it's in your document, it's not optional, you actually have to use it. Important note, but kind of crazy, but the HR department sort of missed that. Not using the definition of compensation that's in the document happens a lot. So somewhere along the line, the document that they're using gets amended to say that bonuses are included in compensation, and someone higher up the food chain thought that that'd be a great idea. But the employers is the people that are actually doing the work are used to excluding bonuses, and they continue to do so. So yep, that's a problem. Let's see. Here's another example. This is a kind of a painful one. The plan document calls for a payroll match, but somewhere along the line, again, a decision's made by the employer that they don't want to match that final payroll after employee quits. And you can see where that would happen, right? There's maybe a acrimonious departure of an employee, and the decision is like, you know what, we're not going to match that last payroll. Forget it. Problem is, if it's in your document, you got to do it, right? So, not filing a 5500 baton drop, failure to send out required notices, baton drop. And the thing is, you probably see this. Most employers believe that they've already outsourced, most of these things. They feel like it's their third-party administrators either should be catching these things or doing them. In reality, there's just a wide range of responsibilities on the employer's plate that no matter what, they still hold. So, these are typically things that go way beyond that employer's level of risk expertise. And look, I'm not trying to suggest that the traditional non-316 TPA, that they're not doing great work. Most of them are. However, just from a workload and liability standpoint, it's definitely not the same thing as outsourcing 316 duties, to a professional fiduciary. So most employers, we think, if they really understood what was going on inside the plan and what they were responsible for, they would prefer not to get that baton passed to them, right? They would rather not be involved with but any type of baton holding if they could help it. Okay, so let's talk about some of the survey questions. Here's one. Are you familiar with 316 outsourcing? Just a second. I gotta move my screen a little bit. Okay. Are you familiar with with ERISA 316 outsourcing services? And you have almost 84%. So overwhelmingly, yes. And nearly all advisors surveyed are familiar with it. So just so you know, we like that answer at Pentegra. And then here's another one. Have you considered recommending outsourced 316 administrator services to your clients? Again, a real high number. Which is awesome. We especially like this answer. And you probably all realize this, but if we'd done this survey 5 or 6 years ago, that percentage would have been far lower. 316 outsourcing is definitely on an upward trend. So that's good news for us. And we think it's good news for you too and for your plans. Are your clients receptive to this type of service? Advisors are telling us that most clients are receptive or somewhat receptive to outsourcing 316 services. And we think if it's positioned properly, it makes sense. An employer, if they can reduce the work and liability, why wouldn't they be receptive to having some sort of conversation about that? Just makes sense. Okay, let's talk a little bit about which employers are a good fit for 316 outsourcing. And what I'd say is that it's less about the size of the plan than the needs of the plan. A question I get lots of times from advisors is, is it a $5 million plan, a $3 million plan? It doesn't really matter, about the assets. And sometimes it doesn't even matter about the participants, although that does play a factor in it. So I'm sure you've got clients that run a tight ship, right? They have experienced staff that are responsible for, administering the plan. And, even in that scenario, outsourcing still frees up time that can be reallocated elsewhere, but there's still a substantial reduction in liability for the employer, right? If they can get rid of it. So, but it might not be enough of a pain point for that type of employer, right? One that has that experienced staff and not a lot going on. It might not be a big enough pain point for them to outsource these responsibilities. Now, I say that, but I can give you a specific example from this past year where on the surface, it just didn't seem like a great candidate for 316 outsourcing, but they still opted for it. So we were presenting to a plan that had, they had 10 total employees. It was a 401k profit sharing and a cash balance plan. The 401k had a 3% non-discretionary safe harbor contribution. So all 10 had balances, but only three were actually deferring into the plan. No loans, no hardships. Pretty simple. Just, not a lot of activity, not a lot going on. But we discussed 316 anyways, and I'll give you the short version. So we pointed out that most employers don't read their plan document. And we didn't point any fingers at them, but we said most don't read it, but they still sign it. And most employers really don't know if all the info on that 5500 is accurate. Matter of fact, they might not even look at the 5500, but they still put their name on it. They still sign it. So if you're not comfortable signing things that you don't read or understand, then you should consider hiring a 316 named plan administrator. That was basically what we said. And you know what? They did it. So on the surface, again, just wouldn't look like the type of employer that would be a great fit for outsourcing those duties, but in the end it was. So of course you're going to bump into plans where it just hits you right between the eyes, right? Makes perfect sense that they would be a good candidate for 316 outsourcing, right from the start. High turnover or there's an inexperienced staff or even understaffing, right? They just don't have enough people. People are wearing a lot of different hats. Those all continue, excuse me, contribute to baton drops. We think obviously that it makes sense to try to have that discussion with everyone, every opportunity. Looks like hopefully my auto's restored. Yeah, my audio is restored. Okay, good. So we think it makes good sense to have that discussion with everybody, right? But let me just point out a few things that would lead you to believe that it might be a good prospect for 316. So first of all, there should be enough participants for it to matter. So more participants means more activity, more things for the employer staff to do, more baton transfers, right? There needs to the employer has to care that things are done correctly. So if you've got an employer who is the type who expects things to be done the right way, then getting those plan administrator duties right is going to mean something to them. An employer that has limited resources is going to value employees not spending time on the retirement plan. And many companies don't have a dedicated staff, so people are they're the jack of all trades. They're doing lots of different things. So that would make sense that that's a good candidate also. And then finally, any employer who value someone else not only doing the work but also taking responsibility for the work. That's a key one. So the employer who gets value out of not being responsible, limiting their liability, they're going to appreciate outsourcing those 316 plan administrator duties. Okay, so how do you get into this conversation? Sounds like most of you that we surveyed, right, are out there. If any of you on the call actually were involved with that survey, you're already getting into that conversation. So this might be a little bit redundant for you, but at the top, we know that most employers they don't fully understand the scope of their fiduciary responsibilities, and so they because they don't understand the scope of it, they don't realize that they actually have a choice, that they don't have to be the responsible fiduciary for those plan administrative duties. That's by the way where that ERISA fiduciary role slide comes in handy, kind of explaining that to them. So, but I think the conversation might start something like this. Mr. or Mrs. Employer, so your name's on this 90-page legal document, and you know that when your name's in a contract, it means something. It means you or probably more likely your staff is responsible for determining eligibility, sending out required notices, reviewing, approving, documenting hardships. You got to track down and keep track of terminated employees. You got to keep documents updated. That's just a few of the many 50 plus maybe duties that are associated with administering your plan. So if we could take your name off that document and the 5,500, reduce you and your staff's workload and your liability, is that something you'd be interested in? So we think it's as simple as that. That doesn't mean that you're actually going to, they're going to agree to outsourcing, but we think that that's a pretty simple entryway into having that dialogue, showing your value to that employer and, and making a difference for them and hopefully picking up the plan, whether they take 316 outsourcing or not. We think it's a great place to start. So back to the survey. What makes outsourcing services most attractive to clients? So, well, first thing we have is mitigating retirement plan risks, and we have plan oversight relief. I think that makes a lot of sense. I would agree with that. I would agree with all of those. So those are good responses. Okay, are you actively discussing this fiduciary option with your retirement plan clients? Advisors are definitely discussing that. We got 75%. So that's an overwhelming yes. I think we talked about maybe doing a survey of our current audience, see if we can ask how many are actually having these discussions.
Correct. So hopefully on your screen right now, a panel just popped up for you to click and answer that question. If you could select yes, no, or no, but plan to, and submit your answer. I'm gonna give you about 20 seconds there to submit your answer, and then we'll share those responses at the end of the at when Joe gets near the end, once we've collected them all. So just about 10 more seconds, if you can submit your answer. That'd be great. And I'll get those ready to share. Thanks, Joe.
Perfect. Thanks, Beth. I appreciate it. Okay, so what percentage of your clients are currently utilizing 316 fiduciary outsourcing services? So it looks like about what, 40%? We have another 40% that aren't sure, but at least 40% are outsourcing at some level. And I think this is probably worth drilling down into a little bit because in the 316 marketplace, we have all different types of expertise and levels of 316 outsourcing. If you think about it, 316 outsourcing is pretty new to the scene. Maybe the last 3 to 5 years, roughly, we've seen a big uptick in this type of outsourcing. Before that, it was all about the investments, 321, 338. But we've seen this tide kind of change over the last few years. And here I'll put in a little bit of a plug for Pentegra. We've been named in the document 316 plan administrator since 1974, since the start of ERISA. So we got many of our clients we've had for over 40 years. So I think that's pretty impressive. So most of what you're seeing out in the marketplace regarding 316 outsourcing is what Fred Riesch, our famed rock star ERISA 36 or ERISA attorney out on the West Coast, what he calls 316 light. And that's not meant to be derogatory, it's just meant to be descriptive. So in a 316 light scenario, the service provider performs some of the duties, but not all the duties of that 316 plan administrator. And I did a search a while back on the I went to Google and wherever everyone goes to do their searches and tried to see how many 316 providers I could find. And I think I found about 33 or 34 different providers. And what struck me was that the services that are being provided are absolutely all over the place. All over the place. There was a few that were, that stated they were named in the document, but not many. But man, it was all over. And I think that's what the opportunity is, right? So all the duties that the 316 light provider isn't assuming are going to be left for that plan sponsor. And I don't think that they realize that. I think they have the attitude that, well, someone's doing that for me. Well, they are. They're doing some of the things, but they're not doing everything for you, right? So the whole point of this is that, what isn't outsourced is retained. So you and I both know that that plan sponsor isn't likely to understand this. Unless you help them. So by digging into some of these contracts, taking a look at it, you can give them at least some sort of a sense of, what they're still holding, what the duties are that they retain. And I think in doing that, you can actually set yourself apart from other advisors who aren't doing that, aren't taking the time to explain to their clients and the prospects what they actually have. Okay, so what are the various levels of 316 outsourcing? So I've oversimplified this tremendously, but I'm doing the best I can because it's not easy to herd this all together. So I just talked about 316 Lite, and that's supplemental additional service provider. Usually it's a limited list of services, although it's, as I said, it's all over the place. It could be 3 to 5 services, it could be 20. I mean, it's all over. But it's going to be outside the document. You're not going to be named in the document when you're 316 Lite, and that actually does mean something. And so it's going to be a contractual relationship. And again, what's not outsourced is retained. The next level, you have a separate 316 fiduciary, and you'll see this often referred to as a 316 overlay. So and you'll see it where the 316 providers, kind of sits on top of that bundled record keeping platform, or maybe even on top of a TPA. And they're generally named in the document, so they're the real deal, and that's a good thing. But the one thing I would caution is that it is another layer, and it can get a little bit clunky if it's not fully integrated with the record keeper. And then finally, you have this fiduciary 316 TPA, and that's the approach that we take at Pentegra. We call ourselves a first party administrator, so we provide TPA services, and we service the named 316 in the document, the named 316 administrator. So we're fully responsible for the day-to-day operations of the plan, and we shift that legal and operational burden of that administrator role from the plan sponsor over to us. So that, I think, does a pretty good job of giving you at least some overview of what's out there. Okay, a couple more questions. Key advantages to advisors who are able to offer these services: mitigating plan risks, enhanced services, and alleviating work for both the client and the advisor. Number one, and then the two that are tied. But again, all of those are actually very valid, and all I think are pretty great responses, actually. Okay, so how many baton handoffs do we have in a retirement plan over the course of the year? Again, that's going to vary based on what goes on inside that plan. But more importantly, are your employers, the people you're talking to, are they really aware of the liability that's attached to each one of these handoffs? You drop the baton, and you can be disqualified. So if you can remove those baton handoffs, so the employer can focus on running their business, that's awesome, right? Outsource all those decisions, reduce your liability. Just simplify things for that employer. Again, they're not in their business because they wanted to have a retirement plan. They're in their business because they want to successfully run that business. Our job is to try to pull away all those unnecessary things so that they can do what they do best, and have a very successful practice. Okay, so what's the takeaway on all this? Well, I think there's a tremendous opportunity. The more that you can bring yourself up to speed about what's out there in the world of 316 outsourcing, the more valuable you're going to become to not only your clients, but I think you can definitely, hit a hotspot for employers. I think you're going to find, positioned properly for them, that you're going to get people that are going to say, "Yeah, I'm interested in that. Tell me a little bit more about it. Tell me what the cost is. Let me help me understand it." So we think, the opportunity to partner with a professional fiduciary in that 316 role is important. Of course, we'd love to have you give Pentegra some consideration for that. You can reduce your clients' responsibilities, their duties, their liabilities. You know what? You can also save yourself time, and that is time that you can reinvest back into your business, growing your practice. Again, I talk to advisors that get dragged into the administrative snafus, and they don't love it. And it takes time, and sometimes it can erode the relationship with your clients. So the more that we can take that employer out of that position, the better off I think we all are. So I think that's the big takeaway. You know what? Before I do this shameless advertisement for Pentegra on my last slide, Beth, do you have the results for that survey?
I do, and I'm popping them up on the screen now, so I hope everybody can see that. 89% said yes, they are discussing 316 fiduciary outsourcing with a client. 11% said no, but they plan to. So I think that's good.
Fantastic. That's even higher than the actual survey numbers. So that's fantastic. Awesome. Again, I just would encourage you when you're talking about the outsourcing, make sure that you're actually grabbing agreements, grabbing contracts, and getting a sense for what exactly is being outsourced and what's being retained, because that's absolutely critical from that employer standpoint. So I'm not going to go through all this. I'm just going to pull out three things I think they're important for you to know about us in our shameless advertisement. So Pentegra, hey, we are definitely, I can't say the most, but I'd like to, but we're certainly one of the most experienced 316 administrators in the country. I mean, we technically we've been doing this work since before ERISA. So we've been doing this a long time. We have a ton of experience. I think something that's interesting is that we're actually governed by an independent board that's made up of our clients. So we're highly responsive to the to our board because they're clients of ours. We're doing the work for them, and we have over 1,000 plans where we serve as the named 316 plan administrator. And I don't think there's a whole lot of 316 providers that can tout a number like that. So anyways, I think those are all great things about us, and you've got the rest of the stuff here, and I think that's it. So Beth, I don't know what we're doing for time, but do we have any
Yeah,
questions or anything, or?
we do. We do have a few questions. We're right here at the end of our time, and let's see if we can answer just one or two real quick here. Is the plan administrator responsible for hiring and firing the other service providers?
Okay. Minister's one. Okay. Well, it's good that I actually know the answer to that, so I'm happy about that. I wasn't stumped. So that is a question that we get from time to time, and here's what I would say the answer is. It's only if the document says so, right? So ERISA 402A, that's where you find all the language about the named fiduciary. It says that a plan document, it's got to identify at least, it's got to have at least one or more named fiduciaries, but it doesn't say that the plan has to identify one named fiduciary who will appoint all others. So it doesn't actually state that. So I guess it could be written that way, but that's not the way that we actually see them. Excuse me. So the other thing I'd say about that is that Pentegra, we work through advisors. So if an advisor brings us into a plan and then we have the authority to hire and fire those service providers, that would definitely be a conflict. So in any of the plans that we work on, I'm not saying it's this way across the board, but I can tell you that in plans that we service, we always leave the hiring and firing responsibilities of other service of all service providers to the plan sponsor. And if you want, you can email Beth or me. Pete Swisher's got a white paper on it. I forgot the name of it. It's something about 15 misconceptions, but I don't know the whole title. But if you shoot us an email, we can send you that white paper, and I think that would help clear things up. Beth, you got one
Absolutely,
more?
and just as yes, do you have to be the name? Do you have to be named in the document to sign the 5500? I see PPA signing the 5500 for plans. Does that make them the named plan administrator?
Okay, that's a good question. So, yeah, certainly a TPA can sign the 5500 on behalf of the plan administrator, and we do see that, but it doesn't actually make them responsible for it. It doesn't mean that they're the plan administrator. There's actually a benefits link on the benefits link message board. There's something that addresses this, and basically, it allows for the plan administrator is the plan administrator, right? But there's something that it does authorize the TPA to be able to submit on behalf, the 5500 on their behalf. But just because they're submitting it on their behalf, it doesn't mean that the TPA is actually the plan administrator. And actually, it doesn't even mean they're really responsible for that filing. So to be the plan administrator, you have to be named the document. And that means, you got responsibility for operating the plan. And that's where the buck stops. So yeah, we see that a lot, but no, it does not mean you're the named plan administrator. Okay.
All right, Joe, thank you. We're right here. We're past our time. So what I'll say is that everyone on the call receive an email tomorrow with a link to replay the webinar, and it will contain my contact information. So if you have any further questions or want a copy of that white paper, you can reply to that email and we'll shoot that out to you. If you submitted a question and we didn't get to that, we'll definitely follow up with you
Great.
Later today.
Perfect. Thanks,
Thank you,
Beth.
Joe.
Thanks, everyone. Happy holidays to everyone.
All right. Thanks for everybody on the call. Bye-bye.